Hey, drama listeners, it's Connor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming back for some more drama in your life. Dylan and I are forever grateful to you, and we would be even more grateful if you would go rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts, tell your friends to subscribe, and also if you would head over to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, we have Instagram close friends access. Okay, that's a major perk. Who doesn't love to be on a close friends? And we give bonus episodes every month. So where it's Dylan and I chit-chatting about special topics, predicting the Tonys, talking about theater, telling personal stories, getting a little more personal than, you know, we do on the main feed. And if you want that extra dose of drama, hey, we got some multiple bonus episodes every month. So head on over to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, $5 a month. IG close friends, supporting your favorite twins on their podcasting endeavor. All right, enjoy this episode with Brian Martin. You're absolutely going to love it. Mwah!
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I have one thing in my head and one thing only.
I know what you're going to say because you keep texting it to me.
It is Angela Bassett did the thing. How iconic. Yeah, it's something in... Our guest is doing a little pantomime of it's the choreo, it's the rhythm, we already knew Ariana DeBose was an icon.
Wait, is she an icon already?
Yes,
she's so young.
If you have an Oscar.
Well, there's a point there, for sure.
We do throw the word icon around a lot, but I feel like this maybe solidified her as an icon.
I love that take, because I feel as if she did just cement herself into at least social media iconography with this clip. I mean, the journey that I've been through with this performance clip meme over the last 5-6 days has been a roller coaster, to say the least. I think we've all collectively been like, what's happening? Wait, I'm obsessed. It's camp. Okay, wait, maybe it sucks. But no, it's iconic and amazing. So
I think it's amazing.
She did it.
Why not? Why not?
The thing.
She did the thing along with Angela Bassett. But my favorite part is actually Viola Davis, My Woman King, where she does like a little crown thing. Oh my God. It's amazing. No, that's great. And you know what?
I like when she's a little breathless on Dolly D. It's like, she's losing it, but also she's taking it.
She is. And I hope she leans into it. I at the time of recording, her Twitter has been deactivated, but I hope that she returns gloriously and she leans into how camp this is, because it's amazing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Wait, you told me that she has like a 3-musical contract with the Dodgers, because she did A Bronx Tale, Donna Summer musical, which I actually
can't remember.
Everyone
calls it different. Some people call it Donna. Some people call it Summer.
What?
It's called Summer. Yeah.
She ate in Summer, the Donna Summer musical, which I'm deciding is called Summer, the Donna Summer.
It is. Yeah. Call it by its name.
Is that 2 of her 3, or does she have one more? Like, what could it be?
So they say there's one more out there that she's due to return to Broadway for. So
they usually do like a bio musical. So I wonder what she'll. That's pretty fun.
Maybe she'll do the Angela Bassett story.
Or
maybe a revival. Okay, I can't say too much.
Okay,
but I have a dose of drama all of a sudden for the end of the podcast. It's about one of her co-stars from another project she did and something they might be coming to Broadway doing. Okay, anyways, we have an amazing guest with us today, and these are like my favorite kind of chats that we have. Someone who you and I have seen on stage a bunch, we absolutely love. We can actually refer to their work and be like, oh my God. And then it's like all of a sudden they're in front of us. We're like, hello.
No, the vibes are great. I am so excited. Dylan, would you do us the honor of reading him in?
Let's do it. Our guest today is a true Broadway triple threat, currently appearing in Some Like It Hot at the Schubert Theater. This standout is hot on the heels of making his Broadway debut in Mrs. Doubtfire last year, where he covered the role of Stuart. Before making his mark on New York City, our talented guest appeared in the national tours of Bullets Over Broadway, Elf, Guys and Dolls, and Beauty and the Beast. Regional audiences will know him for playing Fred Casely in Chicago at Fulton Playhouse, in Mary Poppins at Paper Mill Playhouse, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and Oklahoma at Ogunquit Playhouse, A Chorus Line, the titular role of Tarzan, and more. This Michigan native studied at Western Michigan University, as well as the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London, which London has been the theme on the podcast lately, so we'll get into it. He is a passionate teacher, director, and choreographer as well, sharing his artistic flair with Open Jar Institute, Broadway Connection, and numerous college and high school programs. As if that weren't enough, our guest has appeared in music videos, concerts, and performances all over the city. What a gag. Please welcome to drama, Brian Martin.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for that amazing welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. We're so happy to have you here. Like I was saying, Connor and I have seen you do a bunch of things, things mentioned on that bio and otherwise. So we'll get it. We'll get into all of it. We'll get into all of it. But we're so excited. Happy to
Some of
meet
it's
you.
Not pod appropriate. So maybe we won't. I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh.
I kid. But no, seriously, I'm so excited. Thank you. I can tell you've got like a Midwest sensibility about you in that you're very nice.
Listen, kindness is the key ingredient to this business, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One of.
Definitely.
Okay, are you obsessed with the Ariana DeBose video too?
I cannot even describe the amount of memes that have been sent to me. And yesterday it was the highlight of the dressing room. We couldn't get enough of it.
Yes.
The little shoulder action was inputted wherever we could make it, you know, in the ensemble. So
I am picturing all of the hunks of Some Like It Hot right now doing the, yes. Oh my God. Y'all should have made some sort of a TikTok or something. That is so funny.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will.
Maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
Great idea.
That is so funny. Have you ever worked with Ariana?
I have never worked with Ariana. I am a big fan. I love that she's a triple threat and, you know, and that she is, you know, sharing her talents with the world and what she's doing. It's incredible to see someone, you know, go from the Donna Summer musical to winning or, you know, getting an Oscar. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. And she's queer, which is like so cool as well that she's hosting things. And
absolutely.
Brian, how are you doing today? Are you well?
I am so well. It is a beautiful day. It's a one show day. So I got to sleep in a little bit, rest my body for the weekend ahead. And I'm feeling great. I'm happy to be here with you both.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. What does that entail? Like, I know that the light, when we spoke with your co-star, Casey Garvin, a couple of months ago, I think it was right during previews, he was sort of cluing us in on how you really, the show becomes your whole life. Like you really have to rest and dedicate so much of it. What is like your routine like now that you're in a show again?
Sure. I mean, that's so true. When you know, for the hundreds of thousands of people who are out there studying to do this professionally, no one tells you that when you do get your dream job, the work is just beginning, you know? And so it's incredibly difficult to give 100% 8 times a week. So anytime that there's time to rest, you take it. But my typical week, I definitely go to the gym to make sure that I'm strong enough for the show that I'm doing on stage. So I'll head to the gym later today and then get to the theater and do a nice stretch and warm up before the show. This is the kind of show where before the curtain goes up, every single member of the ensemble is on the floor, warming up, stretching, doing their splits. I mean, it's so physical, especially the opening number. If you've come, what are you thirsty for? We open with quite a bang. So we all are just prepping our minds and our bodies for the 3-hour journey that we're about to take everyone on.
Oh, it is such a good show.
It is so good. And yeah, Dylan, you're right. When we talked to Casey, we hadn't seen the show yet. And then we did. And ultimately, it's the kind of show I love to see on Broadway. The kind of show I grew up seeing. And it feels like a fresh take on that. So our audience is loving it.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think there's something for the musical theater nerd inside that this show gives, you know, and we're like, oh, this feels familiar, but yet it has such a fresh spin and a contemporary feel to it. I just remember hearing like the orchestrations, the overture for the very first time. And I was jolted back to my younger self, like my kid self, who would just go to, I was the kid who would go to the library, rent as many cast albums as I could, rip them to my computer and listen to them nonstop and just imagine in my head what these shows looked like. And so this is definitely a dream come true for me. I say it's like kind of like my Thoroughly Modern Millie moment, you know, because It's just that classic Broadway feel, but with that contemporary edge, and it's so thrilling. Audiences have been getting on their feet immediately, at the end of the show, and so it's awesome to see people smiling and laughing and cheering again.
Aw, that's amazing. Wait, that is such a relatable memory that you talked about going to the library, getting the cast albums, and like ripping them to your computer. And I definitely did that with Thoroughly Modern Millie. Oh my God. I feel like I forget what my like platform was. Maybe it was just iTunes that I ripped it to, and then I put it on like CDs. I don't remember. I did have like a really low budget MP3 player called a SanDisk
Oh,
Sansa.
yeah, I remember
Totally
those.
had that.
Yeah, that too. It really got me through many a like bus ride to and from like a marching band game or something like that. So that I shout out to my SanDisk Sansa. I wish she were here now. Doubtfire was your Broadway debut, but with this one, you didn't do the Macy's Parade with Doubtfire, right? Did you guys do it?
Well, we did not. No, we did not. Yeah, this has been, the gift that continues to keep on giving. And the Macy's Parade, I like to say it was like, I think it was the highest I personally ever felt in my life. Just, it was, first of all, it's Thanksgiving. So everyone is full of gratitude and, feeling warm and bubbly. And then, I mean, like theater folk, we all watch the Tony Awards, which is incredible, best night of theater ever. But the entire country, if not more, watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So I would get messages from like my kindergarten school teacher and, that third cousin and just people. I came out of the woodwork to be like, hey, I saw you on the parade, which is just so amazing. So there was just love coming from everywhere. And the weather was nice. And we got to share, we were still in preview. So we got to share for the first time a glimpse into what our show is all about.
Yes. And I feel like it was really well received. I mean, the energy, the choreography, the music, everything. And did you guys record an album yet?
We did. We recorded the album a few weeks ago, and
Okay.
it should be coming out, I think, March 24th or 25th is the date. And I cannot wait to see what they've done with it, and for that little kid in Michigan to go to the library and rent the album, and or yeah, I don't think that exists anymore. You can just
And I
rent
was
it
thinking about
online,
that
but
actually. It's like it's all of Guess I just on Spotify, maybe, or I don't
yeah,
know.
totally. We didn't
Wow.
have that luxury as kids.
That's true. That's true. We had
Kids these days have it too easy. I'm suddenly one of those people who says kids these days, I guess, as a 29-year-old, but we really had to seek things out back in the day,
Illegally download things on LimeWire. Did you do that, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. I was that person who would just, as much as I could obtain in the musical theater world, like that was my iPod. It was just musicals, But totally, I mean, that's the thing about like when we go back to the hard work, it's like they can go online and watch a bootleg of a show or see clips. We didn't have that. So we had to imagine it and create that experience for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk more about Some Like It Hot, but as we're talking about like childhood and what got you into the business and what you even like about the arts in general, we ask all of our guests about the moment that they really felt like they identified with musicals, theater, the art, all of it. We borrow the term from Fun Home. We call it the Ring of Keys moment because maybe it was a light switch that went off when you were watching something or consuming something. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment or even moments any point in your life?
I mean, it just kind of coincides with my childhood. I grew up singing in church. I was like a child boy soprano belter. And
Yes.
so I was just, lucky to have the gifts as a kid. And so I did a lot of community theater in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I'm from, and got to play like the little boy in ragtime. And, I was like the one kid in the production with all adults. And so I was just immediately immersed in this world of make believe, and I fell in love with it instantly. So I knew it was a part of my soul. But my very first Broadway show was the original Broadway cast of Wicked. And as we all know, that show is life-changing. But for little 14-year-old me, I couldn't believe, like I was fully transported, and I got to see the original cast, which I don't even know, now how lucky I was. I didn't know to be able to witness that. And so I think that was the moment I came with my mom, and she was like, let's see Phantom of the Opera, or let's see, Les Mis or whatever. And I was like, no, I really want to see this new show, Wicked. And so she did everything she could to get us, partial view tickets or whatever. And but yeah, that was I think Wicked kind of locked in the deal for me in terms of, hey, I want to be on that stage when I'm older and I want to do this for a living.
Well, that is so special. Wicked is such a gateway drug, I think, for people. But to like be in this city and be convincing your mom to go see it, that's so cute. How did you even like know what it was?
Well, it was even before the cast album. It was when we had like the online blogs and people were talking about new shows. And so I was totally in. I was obsessed with Wicked and I knew that it was around, but the album hadn't even come out yet. So I was like, hey, I know that there's this show and I've heard some clips. Can we please go see it? So it was pretty special.
So, what were you doing in New York? Was it just like a family trip?
I was doing like a talent showcase, one of those week-long programs. I actually was auditioning for, as a kid, I was auditioning for the little boy and the boy from Oz,
Oh, yeah.
and also for like an international tour of The Sound of Music. So I was here auditioning as a kid and also getting to see some shows. But it was my first time in New York City, so it was, life-changing.
Oh, I can imagine. How old were you?
I was 14.
What else did you see on that trip?
That is the only show we saw. That's the only show we had time for.
It's all you needed, honestly.
So that's why, yeah, that's why it became my entire world. And I remember I would go home and record myself singing Defying Gravity. And, because I still was this boy soprano belter. So I was singing all of the Elphaba and Glinda music. But then once my voice started changing very shortly thereafter, I realized that if I wanted to do this professionally, that dance had to become more so a forefront in my training. And so I started taking dance more seriously and taking classes and, working on my new voice, this new manly voice.
You're like, oh, Pierre doesn't even have that good of music in the show. Like, well, I guess, I mean,
Right.
that's cute. Dancing Your Life is cute, but then he does get to sing in As Long As You're Mine, of course. But,
Right. I want about the Wizard and I.
right. I'm surprised we haven't seen you in Wicked yet.
Yeah, I actually have never I've been in for Wicked, I think one time, but the people that are the tracks that I think I would be right for, they've been around or they've been in those tracks for quite a long time. So maybe in the future, we'll see.
Yeah,
Yeah,
nice
maybe
work
one
if you can
time.
get it, right? I mean, people would, why would
Yeah.
you leave? But you're busy originating tracks now. Like that's your gig these days. This might be like a little too personal, but so at 14, had you realized your identity yet? Was that also kind of tied in with that trip at all, or?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think I fully realized. I was raised very Catholic and it was, part of my I like knew, but I didn't know, and so it like Wicked was a very religious experience in its own right. And
It was the white pants, wasn't it?
it was the white pants. They were so nice. And Norma Leo Butts, what a hunk.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
know.
Yeah. But I just it's shortly thereafter within the community theater world of my upbringing, I found friends who were just like me from all over the city, and we would get together and sing show tunes and have sleepovers, and a lot of them who are still here working on Broadway and performing today. So,
Oh, that's so special. Oh my God, I love that. Yeah, there's something in the water in the Midwest. I was talking to a friend, he's from Michigan, and we were talking about how it's because you're like sort of in the middle of the country and you don't have direct access to like the coastal things like in LA or New York, that there's this like craving and like cutting your teeth in a way to try and get out there and break
sure.
out. I don't know. It's so interesting.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I always knew after that first visit, I was like, that's where I will be. I can't wait to get out of here. Once you have a taste of, this beautiful city of, arts and diversity and just everything, it's like, oh, that's where I'm meant to thrive. So I always knew.
And then did you book a national tour out of college? Is that sort of where these credits started rolling in?
Yeah, so I went to school, Western Michigan University, got my BFA. And then I was invited to audition for the national tour of Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And I ended up booking the ensemble and covering Lumiere on that tour. And that was like my first taste of a long-running show. Just, I think I did that show, I don't know, 350 times or something crazy,
Wow.
all over the country. And it was, non-union. So we had like week-long sit-downs in LA, and then we had one-nighters and everywhere. So I learned a lot in just in terms of professionalism and stamina and everything that goes along with a long running show.
Totally. And you got to go on as Lumiere.
I did get to go on as Lumiere, a beautiful young 22-year-old Lumiere. I would give anything now to rewind and sit in the audience and watch myself stumble through that in the best way. But it was a lot of fun, and I would love to revisit that role someday in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to come back, or it's allegedly been coming back for a while now. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fun as hell. So then what happened between touring the country and Beauty and the Beast, and then Doubtfire was supposed to happen in 2020. So was your goal the whole time like, I'm going to make it on Broadway? Or were you like happy with everything else you had going on? I mean, we're reading your credits. You've been busy.
Yeah, I mean, I truly, my road to Broadway is one of those that a lot of people will understand. And it's, I've worked every survival job in the books. I mean, I worked at gyms, I've worked restaurants, I've catered, I've done multiple gigs all over the city, you know, working at birthday parties and dressing up as this character or that character. And all the while auditioning for these Broadway shows, you know, a few times a week and getting agents. And, you know, I did the thing and I worked my tail off to do it. And it didn't, I did a couple other national tours, as you mentioned, and a lot of regional gigs. And it wasn't until January of 2020 that I finally got the call that I would be making my Broadway debut, which was for Mrs. Doubtfire. And then of course, in March, the world shut down. So that was a very insane experience for my emotional and mental health. Mm. Just being like, oh, we did it. We finally did it. And then it's all gone. And but looking back, I am so thankful that that door opened for me when it did, because I have no idea where I would be now if I didn't have that that light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, absolutely. Did y'all do like one or two performances? Was that what it was? And then
yeah, we did three performances. And then I remember we were sitting there, you know, rehearsing, and they came in and they were like, we're just gonna leave everything where it's at and we'll see you in 4 weeks, is what we thought at the time. So that was, you know, that was an insane experience for anyone that worked on a show during that time. But then even more so coming back, I was swinging the show. So I understudied 7 different tracks. And it was when Omicron decided to come sweeping through the plains. And so it didn't matter if you were vaccinated or wearing masks and doing everything right. It was happening, you know, everyone was getting sick again. And so there were moments where I was on stage playing, I think up to 4 people a show, just to keep the show alive during that insane time. I learned so much, and I'm very grateful for the experience, but I woke up every morning looking at my phone, just like shaking a little bit. So here's my shout out to all the swings and understudies out there. You are the best. Like, it is insane. It's insane what they do and what we do. But I'm grateful for everything I learned.
Yes.
Wow. Swings
especially are the unsung heroes. I love that they were given more spotlight in the last year or so. So congrats to you. But I still think there should have been some sort of a segment or something during the Tony Awards that highlighted all the swings and understudies and covers. Because
I agree. I mean, specifically last year when we saved Broadway every day. I mean, thinking back, like my heart is pounding. I'm like, it was insane what we did, but I'm very proud, and I'm, you know, that's like the best learning environment. I learned so much and I became almost like fearless. I was like, okay, what am I going to do today? And, you know, like as we grow in the arts, we're all perfectionists in our own way and we want to do things right. But I learned to stop beating myself up over, you know, stepping on the right foot instead of the left foot, or just little things that you can't control in those moments. And so I'm so thankful for those learning lessons that I think prepared me for, you know, the job that I have now.
Yeah. So Doubtfire obviously didn't run as long as we'd have hoped, and, you know, just wrong time in many ways.
Okay. So you were shut down once for COVID in 2020, came back, shut down again for COVID, came back. What kind of roller coaster? I mean, I feel like that would have been hard for me as like such a Virgo. I'm like, I like to know what I'm doing. I like to know what's happening. Did the unknowns really get to you, or were you just like having faith in the show and hoping for the best?
It was a little of both. It was a mixture of feelings. You know, we knew that everyone around us was doing their best to make the show happen. And there was so much heart in the show. And there's a national tour going out this year, which is great. So more audiences will get to experience it. But it was insane. And so luckily during one of those shutdowns is when I got to do the workshop for Some Like It Hot. So it kind of fit like into one of my breaks, which I was very fortunate for. So there was a moment where I was like, okay, I'm still, you know, working and things are still happening. But it was unfortunate. That show should have lasted a lot longer than it did.
Oh my God. We had the best time. I mean, and Rob McClure's performance was only one of the most miraculous things I've ever seen, but the rest of the show too held up completely. I mean, we had Annalise Scarpacci on, who is a star, and I mean, just everybody in that.
Oh yeah, she is a slay.
Yeah, she's the best.
And so then there was a little bit of crossover too with you and Casey Garvin both doing Doubtfire and then coming over to this one. Was there anybody else from Doubtfire that's in Some Like It Hot now?
Yeah, there's, well, Jay Harrison G, who is, you know, Daphne is was in Doubtfire, as well as KJ Hippensteel, who was Rob's understudy in Doubtfire, is now understudying Christian Borle in Some Like a Hot.
Oh, cool. That's so fun. Yeah, I think KJ, that's his name. He graduated from the same college theater program that my boyfriend went to, Wright State in Dayton. So
yeah, he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I can't even imagine the pressure of understudying somebody like Rob McClure as well, and then going in and understudying Christian Borle. It's like,
I mean, it's like I said at the beginning, like getting to work with these both of these individuals back to back. They are the kindest human beings, you know, and they're a masterclass in their own right. They come into the room and, you know, every day the script is changing and evolving. And if they have an idea, they just go for it with no fear. And most of those choices that everyone will be like, yeah, let's put that in. That's amazing, you know? And so it was really cool to be an observer of their work and watch them just have the biggest hearts and, you know, be as fearless as they are in the rehearsal room, making choices and being creative. And not apologizing for it. If a joke didn't land, or, you know, or they fell on their face or whatever, it didn't matter. And so it's been the joy of a lifetime to watch these two idols of mine in person in a rehearsal room.
I can imagine. Who would be like someone in the future that you'd be like absolutely gagged, freaking out to work with? Like your next show, or say they come into this show or something like that. Like who was your hero or somebody like that when you were coming up?
Sure. Well, I like to consider myself more of a song and dance man. Mm-hmm. And so one of my idols is Tony Yazbek. The voice is unbelievable. The talent is unbelievable. And I would love to learn more from them and watch them, you know, rehearse. Yeah, someone who does it all, you know, triple threat. It's incredible.
Yeah.
He's incredible. So totally. That would be one of mine.
He's been on the forefront of our minds recently because Connor and I had Alicia Umphress from On the Town on recently. Actually, she was her episode came out yesterday, and Tony Yazbek obviously led that. And I was like, you know, I want like another revival like that, of that kind of era.
Well, Flying Over Sunset had, wasn't he? There was like a similar sort of like era sensibility to it. He was great in that. Did you get to see it, Brian?
Yeah, I did get to see it and I loved it. I thought it was so special, and his performance in you know, particular was beautiful. The whole show was really wonderful.
Yeah, it was felt like a cool risk for a Broadway show that you don't normally see. Plus, he was wearing those board shorts at one point. I feel like that didn't get enough attention, but
oh yeah,
it got attention from me, Dylan. That's all that really, really mattered. I was going to ask you, Brian, because something we mentioned at the top was we've seen you in lots of different things, but I remember seeing you in the Alaska 1989 show at $3 Bill last summer.
Yes, that is one of my. I mean. Dancing for Alaska is, I think, one of my favorite things in life. Like, it is the best feeling. First of all, you're just dancing. We're in a backyard in Brooklyn putting on this elaborate drag show. And Alaska is, again, one of the kindest humans ever. And so it's a blast. And we got to dance the Taylor Swift music.
Love it.
I don't know. It's so fun. Those nights are just some of the best.
How have you gotten involved in that scene?
Just from way, way, way back when I did Summer Stock in Indiana at Wagon Wheel Theater. And I met Nick Laughlin during that time, if you know the name, who's very close to Alaska. And so we've just been good friends ever since. And it's kind of those things where it's like, hey, are you free to dance? And I'm like, absolutely, I would love to.
I think I went to like the Thursday performance, whatever. It was so iconic, that 1989 show. I mean, Taylor's my like number one. I know all the words to every song. And it was so fun and campy because like Alaska did not, but that made it better. It made it better that we were like, it was still like drag, you know? We weren't going to this like perfectly executed, like, I know every single word, every single song, and I'm like slaying and killing it. Like, it was so fun and it felt like a community experience. I mean, and the dancing was iconic. I mean, we had like Laguna Blue singing too. Like, the audio wasn't perfect, but
Totally.
it just really felt like this amazing New York summer night. And I'm like, oh, this is what I love about like the arts in general, drag and music and dancing and.
Yeah, and I think that's Nick's goal is to merge the drag world with the Broadway world a little bit and to give a night that is a little more of a spectacle, a little more of a show. Of course it's not perfectly executed. We have minimal rehearsals and we've put on costumes once maybe before we do it, but it's just those nights are so thrilling for a performer to go out. And of course everyone loves Alaska, everyone loves Taylor, so there's just so much love in the air. It's like you're in a room full of people that are vibing together. And so it's, incredible energy.
Yeah, for sure, for
Oh, how
sure.
fun. Wait, I'm curious about something because I noticed that you post on your Instagram that you are on the key art for a different musical that's opening this Broadway season,
Oh,
that your
yeah.
likeness appears in the New York marquee. What is that all about?
So after doing the Bullets Over Broadway tour, I was connected with the one and only Susan Stroman, who is again one of my biggest idols in this business. And they were looking for two dancers to kind of be the visual art for this production. And I got the call asking if I was available to do it. So that was an incredible gift. I mean, I'm in no way a part of the production other than this. But just to be, again, rewinding back to little me, to see myself on a Broadway poster is insane, with all of those names attached to it. So I'm really looking forward. I have a lot of friends in the show, and I know that Stroman's work is some of the best. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do.
Oh yeah, we've needed her back on Broadway. Speaking of Toni Jesvec, she was supposed to do that Gershwin one, the from the 1993 Best
Crazy for
Musical,
You.
Crazy for You. Yeah, that was Toni Jesvec.
Yeah, I think that may still be in the works somewhere, but it's not happening now.
Yeah,
Oh,
I don't
right.
know.
Oh, wait, because it had Laura Osnes in it too, right?
Well, maybe at some point.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then Toni Jesvec saved the day. Anyways,
He did. Remember, he was like, wait, were they doing that in the Hamptons? Was it Crazy for You
I don't
they were
remember what
doing?
it was. I don't know.
And then Page Six was like, we've talked about this in the
I
podcast like
know. I
way
don't
too
remember.
many
This is so
times.
chopped up. We can cut
That was one of the
that.
funniest nights of my life. But anyway. Well, like when the news broke, the Page Six. But oh, what I was going to ask was, Brian, when you were in the Bullets tour, did you go through Cleveland? Because we definitely saw it in Cleveland.
We did go through Cleveland. That's the Playhouse Square, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, good
Yes.
memory.
Yeah. We were there for two, I think 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's was one of our first stops. Yeah.
Oh my
It's
goodness,
Bullets Over
possible.
Broadway again. I mean, what an incredible show. Too short-lived on Broadway. But I learned so much, and getting to dance Stroman's iconic choreography, specifically that tap number, "Tain't Nobody's Business," with which Nick Cordero led, in the
Yes.
show. It's just been, again, one of the gifts that keeps on giving. And I got to do it here in New York a couple times for a gala for Stroman, and then we did actually a video recording of the number with like 20 more guys on a rooftop in New York. So that was a lot of fun getting to
Oh,
encapture that.
fun. Oh my God, I need to look that up.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really good.
Yeah, in Cleveland, it might have been an early stop. I remember that a pearl necklace broke all over the stage. And they had to like stop the show, and some wonderful, I don't know if it was a stage manager, somebody mopped the whole thing up, or maybe it was an ensemble member doing it. I don't know.
Yes, she Olive is given a necklace with black pearls. And so, I mean, how dangerous for a show that has as much dancing to have little black beads all over the stage that you can't see. So it was the right move to stop the show in that
Yeah.
circumstance.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so, that's live theater, baby. I love it.
Was the Helena York role, right?
It was, yep.
Yeah. Wait, really quick, I need to ask you, how long were you in London when you were studying
Yes.
there?
I was in London for 6 weeks. And it was one of the best experiences. I was 21 years old, was my first time to Europe. Actually, one of my classmates was Miss Samantha Barks, who was also studying at the time. And we became really close friends during that time. So it was an amazing experience. I just studied Shakespeare. So I got to, you know, when you're studying in school, you're splitting your time between the academics, the dancing, the singing, the acting. And it was finally a moment to put everything away and just focus on one thing, which was Shakespeare and acting. And so that's, I think, when I really fell in love with just acting in general, because as ensemblists, we are so focused on dance training and singing training, where I was like, wait a second, if I want to do this in the long haul, you know, nowadays on Broadway, you have to cover, you have to be able to jump into someone else's shoes at any moment. So I'm very thankful for that time.
Oh, how fun. Connor and I were just in London for like a week and a half, and it was the best. What area did you live in?
I was in central London, in like a dorm, and studied at the Royal Academy.
Oh, so yeah. Fun. What a dream.
Oh my God.
What a cool thing just to like it. Talk. I mean, oh my God, that's wild. That's wild.
British boys are so cute.
They are so cute. It's the accent. But then they think that you're cute because you have an American accent.
Which I was shook by. I was like, oh my God, they probably think we sound so annoying, but they actually love, which I do, but they probably love, they love it. They would say.
No, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. Wait, okay. You have a boyfriend that you mentioned. I can't remember who was on the pod or off, but what's the tea here? How long has this been going on?
I have a boyfriend. His name is Saeed, and it is going on about just over a year and a half. Yeah, and it's been a wonderful ride. I mean, Saeed has seen me through Mrs. Doubtfire and Some Like It Hot. So he's been on quite the journey with me by my side, and I'm very, very thankful to have someone like him in my life during this time.
Is Aww. He a civilian or is he an actor?
He is a civilian. He's a doctor, which is wonderful.
Ooh.
He just got a job at Columbia as the clerkship director for the OBGYN clinic. Yeah, so he's a very intelligent human being, but loves the arts. His favorite musical is Phantom of the Opera, which we've seen together now three times because he loves it so much.
Three times in a year and a half. He really loves it. Like loves.
He loves it. He could sing any word from it. And I wasn't the biggest Phantom fan. And now I have to say that I am.
That's what happens, right? That's kind of what happens. How did the two of you meet?
We met on Hinge online. Yeah. During the pandemic, I was working at a bar. I mean, during the break before Mrs. Doubtfire came back, I was working at a bar in the neighborhood and we matched on an app and met for a date and the rest is history.
Did you say, I'm finishing up my shift. Why don't you come by for an end of the night drink? And
yeah, I mean, he did come by for a drink. And
oh my God, that's so cute. Like,
maybe we should get dinner this week. So it was cute.
Oh, I love it. You guys are adorable. Of course, everyone, when they follow you on Instagram, they'll have to see the cute pictures about the two of you because it's so cute.
Before we do Dose of Drama, I'm curious, Brian, what's your dream? Like you've been in this business. I mean, it feels like you've been in this business your whole life in some ways, you know, like preparing for it. Has it been what you hoped it would be? I guess that's two questions, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, Some Like It Hot has definitely matched a lot of my dreams in terms of originating, you know, from the workshop level to the Broadway stage. It's been unbelievable to be a part of this experience and to be in the room with these iconic creators. And I mean, this cast, and I'm still living this dream. So it's been hard to think about, you know, what's next? What's next is the question everyone asks. But I'm really, really comfortable with this moment in time and in embracing every day that I get to do this specific dream. I guess, you know, the next goal is to start playing more roles and maybe creating a role. I think that I have something special to give and I would love to have a role that's written for Brian, you know? And I think as I progress in this industry, and meet more people, I think that might be on the table. I would also love to direct and choreograph in the future and to continue to create my own work. So we'll see. I have a lot of dreams. I just need to focus them.
I love it. And I love what you said about being present because I think that's so important. This is so exciting. And y'all didn't get to have the huge spring Tony's campaign for Doubtfire that we would have hoped for. So this is, I have a good feeling about Some Like It Hot this
Oh, I
year.
have a
So
great feeling.
we'll see. It is an incredible season. I mean, there are so many amazing new shows
I
coming
know.
out, and I have so many friends involved in all of them. So, I'm just happy that Broadway's back, that everyone's working, and that we get to experience, different types of theater and at any moment, which is great.
Yeah. You know what my like wish for Some Like It Hot, although I mean I want you guys to get nominated for, best musical, director, choreography, whatever. I need Natasha to get a nomination. Need. Wouldn't that be so great?
I mean, we all think about it every day.
Yeah.
She is one of the best humans I've ever met and gotten to work with. Her spirit is always positive. Her comedic timing is brilliant. Her vocal talent is unhinged. I mean,
Yeah.
she deserves it. So I really hope that comes her way.
Maybe that's my dose of drama.
I
I need it. I need her to get one.
agree though.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, great transition, Connor. It's time for the dose of drama.
It is time. We like to leave our listeners with something to think about. It could be something that you want to recommend. It could be something that you just have on your mind. Drama is life. Drama is everything. So yeah, I guess I will. This is sort of out of order for me, but my dose of drama is if Natasha does not get a Tony nomination for Some Like It Hot, I'm taken to the streets.
Oh, wow.
I'm taken to the streets. All right, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. So I mentioned at the beginning about something that I had heard about one of Ariana DeBose's co-stars from a past project.
I'm still shaking in anticipation.
The word on the street is this Evita that's happening at ART in Boston is going to star a Golden Globe winner, Rachel Zegler, from the West Side Story film as Ava Perone. And she's then allegedly going to take it to Broadway because she did say in an interview that her Broadway debut is closer than we all think.
Really?
And I have it on good authority that that's what's happening. This
Wow.
is our drama, as we like
This
to
is
call it.
your Dumois drama moment. Wow. I'm a little gagged. What else? Isn't she going to be in something else?
She's going to be Snow White with our friend of the pod, Andrew Bernard.
Yes. Oh my God. Dylan, this is something. I really did like that Evita that they did at New York City Center with Celia Pfeiffer. I thought she devoured. Oh my
Oh
God.
yeah. Was I said I don't know if it's the same director. I know Sammy Cannell did that one. I don't know if she's doing ART. But anyways,
I
it's
didn't
just
know Evita was going to be at ART. Andrew Lloyd Webber shows are having the moment that Sondheim shows have been having for the last year and a half. We're like, they're all coming back now. Phantom will be back in 5 years. It'll be a minimalist production where it's just by candlelight, and it's going to be at Circle in the Square.
And Saeed's going to produce it.
Yeah,
And
Saeed's the lead producer. Anyway, okay, that's fun. Brian, do you have a dose of drama today?
I am a pretty drama-free human, but now that we've been talking about Natasha, one of our producers on our show is Miss Mariah Carey. I think it would be really thrilling if Mariah Carey came in and did a little Sweet Sue appearance in Some Like It Hot, the musical. I
I
think
think
that
that'd be
would spread some
amazing.
drama.
It would. I think that if Natasha took a well-deserved vacation or, got like one night off a week, on a Friday night or something, have Mariah step in. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Just a one night only Mariah Carey Sweet Sue. That would be pretty thrilling.
Did you get to meet Ms. Carey?
We did get to meet Miss Carey. She is everything that you can imagine and more. Just so kind, so fun, really awesome, awesome human.
Oh,
That's
I love
great. And
it.
Sam Smith came too.
Yeah, we had quite the week of celebrities last week. They're like, okay, another one's here. But in all honesty, they're all, so wonderful, so kind, and they all love the show. And that's another, with these original shows, it's cool to get to meet all these people who are intrigued by it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, it is amazing. I can't wait to come back and see it. When we saw it, actually, Jay was out. It was like, I think, end of previews.
Wow.
So we saw the incredible understudy. I forget what his name is.
Jarvis.
He was incredible. He was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Jarvis had, I mean, that was the only time Jay's been out this whole run. And it was for a little bit of an injury that they had to take care of. And so Jarvis had zero rehearsal. We actually had to cancel a performance just to have the night to give them time to put on a costume and, hope for the best. And they absolutely nailed it. And so you'll have to come back and see Jay's performance because I think that might also be a nomination in the future.
Oh,
I need to. I need
love
to.
it.
Oh my goodness. Brian, you are so sweet and kind. You have that Midwestern sensibility. I can tell you raised in a good Catholic family just like us. And I'm so excited to come back and see it and meet you actually in person. Where can the people find and follow you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram at BTMartz with a Z, BTMartz. And I would love to say hi there.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, while everyone's following Brian, they should be following us. We're at Connor McDowell, at Dylan McDowell, and at The Drama Podcast. Brian, thank you so much for doing
Yes,
this with
thank
us today.
you. Thank you. You are both so wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, pleasure is ours. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.